Time is now 5:31, excuse me, and we are joined on the phone by a very special guest. He's an award-winning sports broadcaster, an entrepreneur, publisher, editor, writer, authority on all things ACC sports. It is Mr. David Glenn. How are you today, David?
I am doing great, Andrew. It's good to be with you.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. And it is turning into quite the interesting weekend for ACC football. We'll start here at home, of course, with the Tar Heels. And it's shaping up to be kind of a legendary weekend one way or another with yet another hurricane coming through while we're playing the Hokies.
Yeah, and I remember the last time the Tar Heels and the Hokies played in the midst of hurricane-like conditions. And if I remember correctly, I saw both a Wolfpack-Notre Dame game in an absolute monsoon and part of Tar Heels Hokies. And for those who forget, 6 years ago, in really ugly conditions, it was the Hokies who basically avoided turning the ball over too much. Neither team could throw the ball. But they were both ranked in the top 25, and a top 25 Hokies team beat a top 25 Larry Fedora, Mitch Trubisky Carolina team. So who knows how much of that weather we'll get on Saturday, but the Tar Heels certainly hope that they can hold up their end of the bargain much better than they did 6 years ago.
Now, I'm relatively new to the area and I'm still filling in the blanks on a lot of the folklore, particularly on the basketball or on the football side. So I wasn't particularly aware of that game, but everybody that I've talked to kind of mutters and shakes their head like that was the beginning of the end of the Larry Fedora era.
Yeah, what happened in that game, and it was obvious to everybody that it was going to be hard to throw the ball, not just in that game, but any game played in this part of the country. And the Hokies had a big-bodied quarterback named Gerard Evans who ran the ball probably 15 times in that game, and they had a big, rugged running back who probably ran the ball 15 or 20 times in that game. And neither team threw for even 100 yards, Andrew. When's the last time you heard that? In modern 21st century college football, neither team threw for 100 yards collectively. And the Hokies just minimized their turnovers, and the Tar Heels kept not only turning it over, but in their own territory. So they might turn it over, Hokies would run three plays, not gain any yards, but kick a field goal. And then the Heels would get the ball again, turn it over again, Hokies would run three plays, not get many yards, and kick another field goal. And the next thing you knew, it was 20-3 Hokies early in the third quarter, and the Tar Heels just never got anything going in what turned out to be a 34-3 loss that was a reminder that as pretty as the Fed spread offense of Larry Fedora could look, when you had a talent like Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, maybe against a lesser opponent in better weather conditions, when you needed to kind of grind it out and be physical and run it more and throw it less, those Tar Heels just were not equipped to do that, certainly not against a good Virginia Tech team back in 2016. So the Heels are trying to be more balanced here in 2022, and they seem to have been that, you know, from the Sam Howell era to now the Drake May era. We'll see how it works out against Virginia Tech on Saturday, depending on the weather.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that passing attack that's been pretty potent so far for the Tar Heels, what happens if they're able to execute that? Great. More likely they're not able to execute the passing attack like they want. And then what happens to the offense in that case? And that's without even getting to the defense. So what's your inclination here? Are they going to be able to establish the run when everybody in this side of the country knows that's the play in this weather?
It's going to be hard because even though you take a look at Virginia Tech's record and you know that this is definitely not a vintage Virginia Tech team, they do know how to play defense. They do have some quality players on that side of the ball. They're just having trouble figuring out who they are offensively on a 2-2 Virginia Tech team. But I think that defensive personnel of Tech combined with the probable weather circumstances, it's not going to be a Carolina offense that can just limit the playbook, you know, run it down somebody's throat. I don't think the Heels are equipped to do that personnel-wise. Obviously, if they can throw the ball, they've been at times doing that as well as just about anybody in the ACC, given the emergence of Drake May as that next number one QB. So I think better weather favors the Tar Heels, and lesser weather, like 6 years ago, probably favors Virginia Tech, because again, the Hokies do have confidence in their defense. The Hokies have had an up and down start because they don't have an offensive identity yet. But if you're trying to play slug it out football in a monsoon, you know, it's really limiting your turnovers and leaning on your defense that is more often the recipe for success.
Well, about that, the defense has been very suspect so far this year. And when you're looking at a situation where we're asking this team to lean on the defense, that sounds like a pretty dangerous scenario going forward. So I guess what I'm leading up to is I don't really know what to make of this team. A lot of people, you know, before the season started, if somebody had said after the Notre Dame game, you're going to be 3-1 and you're going to have an established quarterback that is really doing very well. I mean, people would be elated. And then you watch the four games, and I feel like a lot of Carolina fans are justifiably upset with the product that's out on the field.
Yeah, and it all depends on whether you're glass half full or glass half empty, right? Because the glass half full says you are 3-1. You have found your next quarterback after saying goodbye to perhaps the greatest quarterback in the history of the program, not an exaggeration in Sam Howell, and you have figured out a way to get to 3-1. And more silver lining type stuff is that there's nobody on Carolina's remaining schedule that they are not capable of beating. Now, the glass half empty side says not only do you have middling personnel on defense, you're just not communicating well. You're making mental mistakes and penalties and miscommunications between linebackers and safeties and cornerbacks, and guys are so wide open that there's nobody within 20 yards of them. If you play that way, well, then all those same opponents on your upcoming schedule that might not be overwhelming, Virginia Tech, you know, Duke, Virginia later, Georgia Tech later, they're good enough to beat you if you play that way with that many mental mistakes. So I guess the fun part is there's still a chance for a great record for the Tar Heels. They just have to cut out those penalties and mental mistakes. They can be better defensively if they avoid those missed assignments and those penalties. But that's easier said than done. Against Virginia Tech, it's a great litmus test, again, depending on the weather, because the Hokies are one of the few teams in the ACC that do not have a very good quarterback situation. And if the Tar Heels play well, maybe they can exploit that and gain some confidence on the defensive side of the ball.
Definitely seems possible, but I keep hearing you say phrases that I feel like I've heard in previous weeks with this team, like a quarterback that's uncertain and a team trying to find their identity on offense, and then we keep seeing 30 points on the board for the other team.
No, and I don't think you're crazy to think that way. If you're going to beat Virginia Tech, it's time to put pressure on Grant Wells, their transfer quarterback, who has not gained a lot of confidence. The last thing you want to do to a team that's a little bit down, and remember the Hokies just lost 33-10 at home on national TV to West Virginia. Their quarterback has not gained confidence this year. The last thing you can do to a visiting team and a visiting quarterback that has lost its edge a little bit is let them get some momentum early. And that means, on, you know, in the dream scenario, you create turnovers. You hit that quarterback in the pocket. You force him into bad mistakes. You give your own offense some short fields with those turnovers. But with mental mistakes on defense, any quarterback can complete passes. And Grant Wells did some good things at Marshall before he transferred to Virginia Tech as the Hokies' starting quarterback. So it's one of those things where Carolina's defense, just as a building block, has to make Virginia Tech's offense earn it, make them execute down the field in a way they couldn't do against West Virginia, in a way they couldn't even do against Old Dominion earlier this year. Make them be good on offense. They don't have a great offensive line. They don't have a polished quarterback. And against that personnel, maybe it's the Carolina defense that can gain that confidence and turn the tide a little bit during a season where, yes, they have been giving up points by the bucket load.
We're speaking with award-winning sports broadcaster David Glenn. We're mostly talking UNC football, but I'm afraid honesty compels me to admit that there is another ACC football game this weekend that, against all odds, is a matchup of two top 10 teams. NC State looks to be finally legitimate this year so far, and they'll be taking on Clemson. What should we look for in that game?
Well, the Wolfpack, like most ACC teams, has been on the wrong end of the stick against Clemson, which, because they're in the same division, they play each other every single season. This is a national TV game on ABC. So that is a window that the Clemson Tigers of Dabo Swinney are very familiar with their national championship runs and other big bowl games. It is not a huge national prominent TV window that the Wolfpack has spent a whole lot of time in, even into their in their better years under Dave Doran. So it'll be how interesting to see how on the road the Wolfpack handles that kind of pressure, that kind of spotlight against a bunch of Tigers that are used to being there and having done that. The other thing is, I believe this is the first time in Wolfpack football history where both they are ranked in the national top 10 and their opponent is ranked in the national top 10. That is rarefied air. If you and I went back to the 1880s in UNC football, there is not a long list of games where both the Heels were top 10 and their opponent on a given weekend were national top 10. So this is rarefied air for the Wolfpack in that regard as well. If they're going to beat Clemson, they're going to have to exploit a Clemson offense that has been far, far short of what it was when Deshaun Watson was their quarterback, or more recently Trevor Lawrence was their quarterback. DJ Uiagalelei, the Tigers quarterback, can be great one week and not at all good the next week. And I think the strength of this year's Wolfpack team is its defense. So when the Tigers have the ball, that's where I think the Wolfpack can really scare Clemson. They got to get those sacks. They got to make sure DJ Uiagalelei does not gain that confidence. They got to quiet that crowd early, maybe by creating turnovers or causing three and outs. If the Pack is going to win that game on national TV in Death Valley, I think it's going to have to start with that defense, which, again, is really good.
One way or another, we're going to know a lot more about NC State come Sunday morning. We are visiting with David Glenn, and we're just about out of time. Is there anything else you wanted to mention, UNC sports-related or otherwise, before we wrap up?
Yeah, I would just say real quickly, Andrew, that 2016 was the reference to that Virginia Tech-Carolina football game in those monsoon conditions. 2016 is actually also the last time ACC football was really, really good. They won the national title that year with Clemson. They had two teams finish in the national top 10. They had three more, so a total of five that finished in the national top 25. And here in 2022, whether the Tar Heels join that party or not, it is a similar hypothetical with Clemson in the top 10, Wolfpack in the top 10, Wake Forest and Florida State and Syracuse and Pitt also in the top 25. That's quality at the top and quality depth that ACC football hasn't seen very often in its 69-year history. So I think that's something to watch for all ACC fans, as some are already rooting for basketball season to get here.
David, it's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed this, and I look forward to doing it again a little bit later in football season and definitely as basketball season gets ramped up.
Anytime, Andrew. Keep up the good work.